Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have a story about a former Muslim who says he hopes more people who give up on the religion of Islam will talk about their experience. He says, the more former Muslims know about each other, the more they will understand nothing is wrong with the decision to leave their religion. We will have more on that story later in the program. But first, the Ugandan government has set up a program to send almost 300 healthcare workers to work in Trinidad and Tobago. Critics say there is already a shortage of medical workers in Uganda. The move will leave many Ugandans without a healthcare provider. Jim Tedder has more on the story.
For years, Uganda has suffered from a lack of healthcare workers. Many skilled health workers leave the country in search of jobs, better pay, and healthcare centers with more resources. The government is now making such departures even more appealing. It plans to send 283 highly skilled Ugandan health workers to Trinidad and Tobago. 20 radiologists and one neurosurgeon are among the group, leaving Uganda with just 9 professionals in those fields. The team will also include 185 pregnancy and birth experts, called midwives. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is hoping that workers in the program will send money back home for their families. These payments are called remittances. The government taxes them. Ugandan officials say they will use the tax money collected to improve the healthcare industry. Uganda has about one doctor for every 25,000 patients and one nurse for every 11,000 patients. The lack of medical workers leads to many preventable deaths. Pregnant women and those who have just given birth are among the high-risk medical populations. At least 17 women die each day due to problems during labor. Janet Abuni is president of the Uganda Nurses and Midwives Union. She says it is common for nurses in the country to go unpaid for up to 6 months at a time. She says this is one reason that work in foreign countries is appealing. Yet, she says, exporting workers will put many Ugandan patients in danger. A Ugandan Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman says the government agencies involved have promised that the program will not endanger the lives of Ugandans. He says the government is supervising the process closely. I'm Jim Tedder.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA, Learning English. In 2012, Muhammad Syed helped launch an organization for former Muslims. It is called Ex-Muslims of North America, or EXIMNA. The group offers support to people who have given up on the religion and no longer feel required to follow its teachings. Kelly Jean Kelly has more.
No major organization has published information on how many former Muslims live in North America. But Muhammad Syed says EXIMNA has grown over the past 3 years. The group started with chapters in just 2 cities, Washington, D.C., and Toronto, Canada. Today, more than 10 EXIMNA chapters are spread across the United States and Canada. Membership is open to all former Muslims, but mainly to those who do not believe in God at all. Mr. Syed says the group is important because some former Muslims face difficulty when they say they will no longer practice Islam. We even had a few times when people threatened their own kids that they would be killed, says Mr. Syed. At one party, Exmana members exchanged gifts that celebrated their new identity. Gifts included things that Islam bars, alcoholic drinks, condoms, and a picture that said in Arabic, "There is no God." Sarah Hyder attended the party. She was born in Pakistan, but grew up in Texas. She says she never imagined someone could want to leave Islam. "I thought it was sort of a one-way street. You just found your way into Islam, and you stayed there," she says. Ms. Hyder adds that people who reject the religion are afraid to talk about it. Many Muslims take it as a personal insult when you step out and step away from their religion, she says, and I understand why that is, but I think it creates a situation where people are afraid to speak their minds, where dissent is not really respected on any level. Samira Mukhtar grew up in the United Arab Emirates, but later moved to the United States. She says she lost her belief in God after she heard a talk by an activist who believes religion and politics should be separate. Ms. Mukhtar says that attending events such as the Exmana party and being with other former Muslims makes her feel safe. However, Muhammad Syed warns that former Muslims can be victims of anti-Muslim prejudice, even in the United States. "My name is Muhammad," he says. "I've had people scream at me to go back home, even though I was born here." Mr. Syed points out the difference between criticizing Islam and having a problem with Muslim people. He says, "Unless this anti-Muslim bigotry is challenged and pushed away, there is no way for Muslims to actually start signing up and pushing back against the problems that exist within our cultures." Changing religion, or giving up on religion, is common in the United States. The Pew Research Center found that more than 1 in 4 Americans leaves a religious faith. The study also found that all major religions lose some U.S. members. Muhammad Majid is a religious leader at one of the largest mosques in the Washington, D.C. area. He says, "Muslims must accept how faith can change and follow the teaching of the Quran that says there is no compulsion in religion. In other words, religion is not required." Mr. Majid says the Quran talks about people who have changed their faith many times and were not put to death. He criticizes people who want to kill former Muslims. "I'm asking those people, what are you teaching?" he says. "Are you telling the person he has to pretend to be Muslim to be safe?" Mr. Majid adds that he will not let anyone harm former Muslims in America. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.